Welcome to Firstline. My name is Aubrey Ann Jackson, and I am a PGY1 psychiatry resident physician. In this podcast, we discuss whole person health and wellness through an osteopathic lens, holistically addressing the body, mind, and spirit. We also discuss topics important to medical trainees, including pre-med students, medical students, and residents. Thanks for joining me. Hi, everyone. In this episode, I'll be discussing some of the common questions that come up during pregnancy, like, how should I change my diet? Should I follow a specific diet? Do I need to supplement? Do I need to take a prenatal? Do I need to watch my calorie intake? How do I know if I'm getting enough weight? What should I do for exercise? So I'm going to go into a lot of that during this episode. This podcast is for informational purposes only. This is not intended to be a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. I encourage you to seek the advice of a physician, a DO, or an MD, with any concerns or questions you have about your symptoms or medical conditions. So, a huge, huge topic in pregnancy is about diet, what to eat. And it's really not that different from what is recommended for a general healthy diet. So I don't want to complicate it too much. There are books and books on this topic if you want to learn more. But I think it's easier to have less to worry about when you're pregnant. So I'm going to focus on really just the important things. So I feel like it's again and again, whether we're talking about healthy diets in general, a diet for optimizing fertility, or when we're talking about during pregnancy, the Mediterranean diet keeps coming up again and again. And this is what most doctors are going to be recommending to you, unless you have some sort of medical condition that for some reason another diet might be better for you. But for the vast majority of people, the Mediterranean diet is the healthiest diet that you can have for just general wellness, as well as longevity, as well as just healthy metabolic profile. Also, a healthy baby during pregnancy. So this was basically the diet that I followed. However, I am vegetarian, so it was a little bit of a modified version of the Mediterranean diet, but it's mostly the same sort of things. So the foundations of the Mediterranean diet, lots of fruits and vegetables. Any diet that discourages vegetable and fruit intake is probably not a great diet. Also, healthy whole grains. So again, carbs are important, especially during pregnancy when you need those calories and you need that energy in the form of carbohydrates. So complex carbohydrates, not simple carbohydrates like sugar. You don't want the processed variety, you want those whole grains. And then the last essential part of the Mediterranean diet is healthy fats. So the Mediterranean diet does really emphasize fish intake, but also any lean meats are going to be good. And if you're vegetarian, then you might be prioritizing fats from oils and nuts. But really, you want a well-rounded, colorful diet. It's really what the Mediterranean diet is about, decreasing the sugar intake and the salt intake, processed foods, and instead choosing more of those whole foods. Another thing that is often talked about is, okay, what if you are a vegetarian and you become pregnant? Does that mean you have to eat meat in order to give your body what it needs and your baby what it needs? And the answer to that is no. You do not have to change your vegetarian or vegan diet. However, you may want to be even more mindful than you already are about getting proper intake of certain vitamins and minerals, as well as protein, and again, those healthy fats. So if you are a processed food vegan and, you know, eat a lot of processed varieties and not as much fruits and vegetables, then maybe you're going to have to be a little bit more intentional about that. And also, if you're a vegetarian that just gets away with eating mostly just fruits and vegetables, then maybe you do have to start incorporating more of those whole grains, more of those proteins, like maybe like tofu. And there's a lot of meat replacements out there now that are absolutely delicious, way better than they were 10 or 20 years ago. So you're just going to have to get a little bit more creative with the types of foods that you incorporate in your diet. And I'm going to talk later in this episode about counting your calories. So the percentage of calories you get from carbs, protein, and fat is going to depend on what you want to do, and doesn't matter as much during pregnancy because, yeah, you are trying to gain weight, but you're not necessarily trying to gain muscle or lose fat or any other type of specific goal like that. So the actual macros don't matter. I think it's better to, instead of getting bogged down by the numbers here, to just incorporate a variety into your diet and make sure that you have a serving of protein with every meal, a serving of carbohydrates with every meal, and then 1 to 2 servings of fruits and or vegetables with every meal, and a serving of a healthy fat with every meal. Sometimes that protein and that fat is going to be in the same food, which is totally fine. And a lot of times it's going to be like a combination, like your serving of fat for a meal might just be adding a tablespoon of olive oil to your vegetables. So it's easy to kind of incorporate that, but I think that it's so easy to get overstressed about the choices that you're making during pregnancy. So don't worry about it too much. Instead, just focus on making better choices and trying to adhere to the philosophy that I shared about the Mediterranean diet. And again, if you're vegetarian or vegan, you might just have to push yourself a little bit more to incorporate more of those healthy fats and proteins because you're not eating the meat. You're not, if you're vegan, you're not eating that yogurt or those eggs. I think eggs were a super important food for me as a vegetarian. I would have 1 to 2 eggs every morning for breakfast, and that was a major source of protein for me. And in my first trimester, it was one of the few foods that I could actually tolerate. And towards the end of the first trimester, I actually couldn't tolerate those eggs anymore. So I had to be a little bit more creative with where I was getting my protein. And I just want to also normalize that, yeah, the first trimester is miserable for many women. So you might stray so far away from what you want your diet to look, and that is totally okay, because your baby in the first trimester is growing exponentially, but your body by itself can provide almost all of what it needs to help that fetus in early development. The one exception to this is you have to make sure that you're still taking your prenatal vitamin, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about what vitamins and minerals are especially important, but just know that if you're going to be able to hold one thing down every day, make sure it's your prenatal vitamin. And after that, it's whatever you're able to keep down. And for a lot of women, that might be just a few crackers, maybe crackers with cheese. That was my go-to. Sometimes you can have such bad aversions to food that it's not worth forcing yourself to eat if you're just going to be miserable and you're going to throw up, you're going to be nauseous. So do what you can, but it's such an individual experience. And if you do feel like you're becoming dehydrated and malnourished, please call your obstetrician, whoever that is, whether that is your physician or your midwife, and tell them what's going on. If you are severely malnourished, that, you know, you can't take care of yourself any longer, or you feel like you're going to pass out, or when you talk to your obstetrician, they might also recommend this, that you can go to the emergency room and they can keep you in the emergency room and they can give you some fluids. They might have to decide to admit you into the hospital if it's severe. Many women just come into the emergency room just to get some fluids because they just need that for that time being, because they're so nauseous, because they're vomiting, and they need that help and support. So don't feel like you're inconveniencing anyone. It's something that's really important for you and your baby to get the help that you need. So whenever in doubt, go and ask for help.
I am now offering personalized assistance specifically for pre-med students. I can help with editing your personal statement and your AMCAS and AACOMAS applications. I will catch your grammar and style mistakes and also provide feedback on content revision so you can craft documents that make you more competitive. There are so many expensive services out there that charge hundreds to thousands of dollars on reviews, which is why I'm offering a much more affordable service with different price packages based on your needs. While many services out there are led by staff members who are years to decades removed from their experiences as pre-med students, I am uniquely positioned to help you as someone who has been through this process myself just a few years ago, and as someone with professional writing and editing experience. I know what it takes to make you stand out, and I know what medical schools are looking for. In addition to listening to my past episodes with tips on navigating med school applications, use the link in this episode description to learn more about the services I offer for individualized help.
Always, always, always get rid of alcohol and tobacco use from your lifestyle. This is detrimental for the fetus. It's been shown over and over again. My philosophy is if we're not sure about something yet, to just go without it. An exception that I might make to this is caffeine, because it's very hard for me to live without my daily coffee in the morning. I switched to decaf for most of my first trimester until my midwife gave me the okay that I can have up to 2 cups. And even though I had the okay to have up to 2 cups, I still compromised and said, okay, I'll have 1 cup. So I have 1 cup, like a very small cup, like six ounces of coffee every morning, like regular strength coffee. And that does wonders for me. But again, the recommendation is to not have any more than 2 cups. It comes out to 200 milligrams. So if you're having any other sort of source of caffeine, like energy drinks or tea, then you just have to calculate out the 200. Another major thing is to be conscientious of undercooked foods, things like eggs and meat, because you really don't want to get a bacterial infection while you're pregnant. That can have devastating effects for your baby. You also don't want to have unpasteurized foods or beverages, and you want to avoid fish that eat other fish, essentially, because every step up in the food chain for ocean creatures has a higher level of mercury. So things like swordfish and shark. And there's other ones too. I don't eat fish, so I don't know a ton of them. Then I will say prenatal vitamins. Super, super important. You're going to need an increase of folic acid because your body's demand for folic acid increases, so your stores decrease. So that means you have to take in more. So definitely necessary to have folic acid or methylfolate in your vitamins. I personally didn't want to take the chance at all of having a folic acid enzyme dysfunction. So I personally invested in methylfolate vitamins, which were a lot more expensive than regular prenatal vitamins. But the vast majority of women will do completely fine on just taking regular prenatal vitamins. There's also a lot of food products out there now that are fortified with folic acid because we know how important it is for pregnancy. So it's just in so much food now. And that has really led to a decrease in neural tube defects. But I still really recommend taking a prenatal vitamin on top of that. And ideally, you should already be taking prenatal vitamins before you get pregnant. So whenever you start trying, that is when you really want to take prenatal vitamins. I personally heard the recommendation to at least be taking prenatal vitamins for 3 months before trying to get pregnant. Another thing that is similar is iodine. So iodine is in table salt now. If you have like Himalayan salt or sea salt, it may not have iodine. So I would look at your salt shaker and see. I think they have to include whether it has iodine or whether it doesn't have iodine on it. Might be a good thing to, I was going to say invest, but usually iodinized salt is way cheaper than the sea salt. But buy some iodinized salt to keep in your house so that you do not become iodine deficient. You're going to have increased iodine requirements in your body. It's important for metabolism and thyroid hormone. So for me, that was just as simple as using my iodinized salt when I was cooking. Another thing you want to make sure to supplement with is iron. Gummy prenatal vitamins will likely not have iron in them. So make sure that your prenatal has iron. And if it doesn't have iron, that's okay. You can take an iron supplement in addition to that, or you can really be diligent about including iron-rich foods in your diet because your risk of having anemia during pregnancy increases because you have the demand to produce more red blood cells because you have to supply a lot to baby. Another thing is calcium. So this is important because the fetus needs calcium in order to build bones. And if you're not getting enough calcium, then the calcium for making fetal bones actually comes from your own bones. So your fetus really isn't going to suffer, but you may suffer by having reduced bone density. So you want to make sure that you're having calcium to really make yourself healthy and make the fetus healthy. And really an important part of a healthy pregnancy is that the healthier you are, the healthier your baby is. A healthy mom is a healthy baby. And then another thing, if you follow a vegan diet, make sure that you are supplementing vitamin B12. It's very hard to get vitamin B12 as a vegan. Otherwise, make sure that you are eating vitamin B12 rich foods or it's included in your prenatal vitamin. So you're looking at gaining about 25 to 35 pounds if you have a healthy BMI between 18.5 and 25. If you are underweight, that's going to be a little bit more like 30 to 40 pounds. And then if you are the opposite end, if you're overweight, it's going to be a little bit less, more like 15 to 25 pounds. And then if you're obese, so your BMI is greater than 30, you should be gaining 10 to 20 pounds. And really, this is something that you, when you're in your first trimester, it's totally okay if your weight does not change at all. I don't think mine did at all. Maybe I gained a pound. But it's really the second trimester where you should start seeing a steady increase in weight. And your doctor or your midwife will be closely watching this every time you come in for a prenatal appointment. They'll weigh you and make sure that you are doing okay. And it's perfectly fine if you've struggled with your weight in the past or you think it may be traumatizing to see an increased number on the scale. You can also ask your doctor or your midwife to blind the weight, but they'll still weigh you for their purposes of checking and they'll they'll tell you if you're on track or not, but you won't have to see the number if that's something that you think may affect you negatively. And I know that there is a saying of like eating for two, or if you have twins, eating for three, but really you should, your diet should really only have an additional 300 calories per day. So that's maybe like a fourth meal sometime during the day, or maybe two or three snacks during the day. I typically just eat when I'm hungry, and they tend to be smaller meals. So I probably more eat like 4 to 6 meals a day, but you don't necessarily have to count those calories. It might be helpful to go a few days counting calories just to make sure you know really how much. Usually for most people, it's going to be like 2,300 calories. You can calculate this. Basal metabolic rate calculators will calculate how many calories you should regularly eat a day, and then you can add 300 calories to that. So it might be good to count your calories a few days just to get a handle on, oh, should I be eating more? Should I be eating less? Or am I around where I need to be? And then after that, once you have a feel for it, you don't need to count those calories every day. Your doctor or midwife is likely going to encourage you to be physically active to certain degrees. It's usually based off of how active you were before pregnancy. So for me, I'm a runner, so I was encouraged to continue running during pregnancy. For other people that have not had that habit of running, then they're usually not encouraged to start running, but you're definitely going to be encouraged to stay active, like maybe like walking regularly every day. You can also do some low intensity aerobic exercises. You can do some strength training. You can do some prenatal yoga. There's a lot of YouTube videos out there that even have videos for each week that you're pregnant, so that it's personalized to where you are. So the first trimester is definitely pretty easy on you, and then second trimester is a little bit more of strength building. Third trimester takes into account that you shouldn't be laying on your back or on your stomach too much, that you don't have as much mobility as you might normally have. But there may be reasons why your doctor may encourage you to avoid physical activity, so make sure you're always talking to your doctor or your midwife about that. Like if you have a high risk of miscarriage or cervical insufficiency, if you have heart disease, if you have preeclampsia, things like that. And then of course there are things that are a little bit unsafe. So again, running is fine, swimming is fine, but something like contact sports, like where you can get hit with a ball or you can collide with another person, is not recommended. Extreme sports, not recommended. Anything that exposes you to heat, like hot yoga, is not going to be good for that. Or anywhere that you're placed in a situation that may cause you to fall, such as gymnastics or skiing, those are usually not recommended for pregnant women.
View the show notes for additional information about this episode and access the link to Firstline's website. Don't forget to follow or subscribe to Firstline on your favorite podcast app to hear a new episode every Monday. Thanks for listening.